Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 7 for the message tonight. Isaiah chapter 7. We will get back into our study on the second coming of Christ on Wednesday night. We had a little interruption due to our revival meeting, but we'll get back into it on Wednesday night. But tonight I want to have you look at Isaiah chapter 7. These are familiar verses to you, especially the 14th verse, but I want to speak to you from the 16th verse tonight, and trust that the word of God will be a blessing to your heart. Isaiah chapter 7, if you'll look please at verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know how to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for your blessings on us this night. Thank you for, Father, the wonderful word of God and the fact that we have the privilege to open the Bible tonight. And Lord, we thank you that we still have the freedom to do that. And Lord, I pray that you will bless us tonight as we look at this matter of saying no to evil. And Lord, help us to realize that there's evil in this world, and help us to realize that we are going to be faced with the decision of saying no or saying yes somewhere along the way, probably many times in our lives. So Lord, give us, I pray, the courage and the conviction and the discernment to be able to know how to say no to evil. Bless us now, Father, we pray, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I want you to think about the great prophet Isaiah here, and he has a lot of prophetic statements about the Messiah in this book, many of them which cover the life of our Lord. They are prophecies that deal with his character, the person of the Lord Jesus, and it is a book that is all about the coming of the Savior, all about the coming Messiah. And in verse 15 and 16, we have Isaiah saying something about the Savior that I want to call to your attention tonight. In this verse, Isaiah tells us something striking about the character of the Lord when he would come into this world and when he would walk through the hills of Nazareth. And what he says here is that the child shall know how to refuse evil. He will know to refuse evil. You know, to be able to know the difference between good and evil, and then have the will and the power to refuse evil, has been forever a trait of someone with strong character. If you succumb to evil, then evil will do its work in your heart, and you will not be a person of strong character. And all throughout history, great men have been great men of character. And from Abraham to the Lord Jesus, men of greatness have been men who know how to refuse the evil. Yeah, I'm sure that every parent in this room tonight would agree that we want our children to grow up happy and balanced and successful and faithful in their service for the Lord. Well, the key for this happening in your child's life is for you as a parent to take the time to train your child or your children to know how to refuse evil. You know, all things evil come from the devil. All things evil. Now think about that. Devil. D-E-V-I-L. Devil. Evil. E-V-I-L. Evil is, the devil is the word evil with a D in front of it. Now think about that for a minute, would you please? The devil, the word devil, is the word evil with a D on the front of it. The letter D is overwhelmingly downward. In the Bible, it is always, all your D words, the over half of the words in the English language are literally or metaphorically down if they start with the letter D. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not. The letter D, it is such a powerful letter, and almost all of the D words in the English language portray a downward state or a diminishing of some element. Downward, diminishing in some way or another. D, think about it, D points backwards just as the B burst forward. And D is always pointing backwards, always taking you backwards. You go back to the very beginning of the Bible and you look in Genesis chapter 1 and you will see this word as it unfolds in the scripture, and using the law of first mention, you will see that it takes those characteristics throughout the word of God. In Genesis 1, you are introduced to the word darkness, which is what? Diminished light. You are introduced to the word deep, which is diminished space. It is down. You read the word divided, which is diminished size. You read the word dry, which is diminished water. And you read the word dominion, which is to rule down over. So the evil is nothing more than that which takes you down. That's all evil is. That's all the devil intends it to be. It is simply that which the devil uses against you for the sole purpose of taking you down. That's what evil is all about. And the devil throws evil before us and he tempts us with evil to keep us from living our lives for the glory of God. And boy, how we need to train our children to know how to refuse evil. Isaiah said that when the Savior would come into the world, that he would know how to refuse evil. You learn it early as a child, so when you become an adult, you don't end up going downward, but instead end up going toward God. That's why the wisest man that ever lived, besides our Savior, said in Proverbs 22 that we are to train a child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he won't depart from it. You see, we're all going to be faced with evil in this world, and it takes a person of character to be able to refuse evil. Now let's look tonight just to illustrate what evil is and what it does to you. Let's look tonight at a couple of Bible characters who, when faced with evil, made the right decision and refused evil and did the right thing. I want you to think about just a couple of Bible characters with me tonight. I'll not have you turn, you know the stories, but think with me first of all about Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite characters in all the Bible. What a great man Joseph was. Joseph said no to evil. without a doubt, one of the most celebrated Bible characters who knew how to refuse evil was Joseph. And when you study his life, you see that he had to make several decisions along the way to refuse evil. You know, that shows you something, doesn't it? That shows you that the devil is not going to quit. I mean, he might come at you and you refuse, but then he'll just come at you from another direction. You can be assured of that, because his goal is to get you to fall. He is more than happy to just keep chipping away and keep trying. If he does not succeed in one direction, he is patient enough to wait and come at you from a different direction. That's what the devil is all about. Isn't it the case with most of us, though? We, just like Joseph, he had several decisions where he had to refuse evil. There are several times in life where we're going to have to face evil, but the sad thing of it is, it only takes one time for evil to completely destroy and mess up your life. It's going to come at you all the time, but be aware that it can only take one evil thing to mess us up for life. Of course, we all know the story of Joseph when he was elevated to be in Potiphar's house. We all know that story. Now, I want you to think about when he said no, when Mrs. Potiphar tried to get him to fall. Think about that. I'm telling you, folks, that took some character on Joseph's part to say no. It took some real character. I mean, from the standpoint of the world and the Egyptian way of life, everything was on the side of Joseph giving in to this evil that stood in his path. When you think about it, it would have been so easy for Joseph to fall right into the pit that the devil was digging for him in Potiphar's household. How easy would it have been for Joseph to fall? Well, let me give you just two quick ways that it would have been so easy. First of all, he was far from home and his parents' influence. You just think about that. He didn't have anybody watching over him. He was not answerable to anybody from a moral standpoint. He was not answerable to anybody. You see, the standards of Egypt were quite different from the ones that he had grown up with in his daddy's house. His dad, back in Canaan, had the law of God written in his heart. At least the spirit of the Ten Commandments would have been ingrained in his heart from the time he was able to think on his own. And I'm sure that the devil whispered to him, now that he was in Egypt and now that that prosperity was standing right in front of him and he was living in prosperity, and when temptation was standing right in front of him, I'm sure that the devil said, whispered in his ear, "Go ahead, Joseph. Your parents aren't here. No one's going to know about this. And look at her, Joseph. She's throwing herself at you. Who's going to know?" Well, my dear friend, let me just challenge you. Let me just give you a little pastoral counsel here for a moment. You are going to face evil in this world, and you cannot and you will not be able to escape that part. You're going to have to face it. But never forget what mom and dad taught you as you were growing up. Don't ever forget what your Sunday school teacher taught you about what's right and what's wrong. Never forget what you have heard from the pulpit in your church. Never forget what Pastor Josh taught you in the youth group. I mean, just realize that you're going to have to face evil when you get out, as you go through life. I don't know when it's going to stand before you. I don't know how it's going to stand before you, but I do know it's going to stand before you. And I am begging you that when that day comes and the devil as an angel of light starts trying to shine a light to show you a pathway to take, don't forget the things that you've been taught by the Word of God and by your mom and your dad and your church. I want you to think about this. The circumstances in Joseph's life made it seem like God had mistreated him. You know, it probably, I don't know how many, I was trying to think, you know, I was thinking about this afternoon and just looking back through the years, that I don't know how many people have said to me through the years that they were angry at God for something. You know, I say, you know, what happened to you? Well, I got bitter at God. Why? Well, you know, my mom died or my dad got cancer or, you know, the kids rebelled or somebody offended me. I said, and you get mad at God for that? Folks, listen, don't ever get mad at God. I mean, you know, if anybody, just looking at it from a purely human standpoint, if anybody had a right, and nobody does, but if anybody had a right to get angry at God, Joseph did. Nobody does. Now, don't misunderstand me. Nobody has a right to get mad at God. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what's happened to you. The very fact that you were able to open your eyes and breathe this morning is grace. That's more than any of us deserve. I think you'd agree with me on that, wouldn't you? I mean, if anybody should have been upset at God, nobody has the right. Don't misunderstand me. But if anybody had the right, Joseph had the right. He sure had more of a right than any of us. Now, I may not know all of your circumstances, but I know a lot of them. And you know, Joseph, bless his heart, it seemed like God had been mistreating him. If you remember, when he was a teenage boy, he had these dreams where God gave him and he saw himself elevated and everybody else bowing before him. He had he had been for years the favored son of his father. I mean, for Joseph, life was good. He was blessed. And then all of a sudden, his world just came crashing down around him, and he was sold by his brothers into slavery, and he ended up down in Egypt. And you know, it would have been really easy for Joseph to think to himself, wow, you know, I trusted God, and look what he got me. I trusted in God. Why not just live it up now? Why not just throw caution to the wind? Why not just, have fun, eat, drink, for tomorrow we die? I mean, you know, when in Egypt, do as the Egyptians. It would have been real easy for him to say that. I know I've sure heard it an awful lot from folks through the years. But yet Joseph refused the evil that was set before him. That is amazing. Where's the Josephs of today? Where are the Josephs today? Now, how did he refuse the evil? Why did he decide to make that decision which has made his name immortal? Well, you go back and read it, dear friend. You'll find out why he made that decision. He refused evil because he knew this sin would offend his holy Lord. I mean, like Moses after him, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He whirled away from Mrs. Potiphar when she grabbed a hold of him. He whirled away from her, left his coat in her arms, and said to her, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Let me tell you something, teenager. Let me tell you something, young person. God is watching when mom and dad aren't watching. God is watching when the pastor isn't watching. Oh, he was alone. And he had his opportunity right there. But his thoughts of God were so fresh on his mind that he was not about to compromise and not about to do this wickedness and sin against God. Had he yielded to temptation and committed this awful transgression, and had it been found out, it no doubt would have hurt a lot of people. But Joseph was not even concerned about that. Now you think about it. Had he done this, and had it been found out, it would have hurt a lot of people, no doubt about it. But that didn't even concern him. What concerned him was that this sin would have been an offense to the Lord. And the point is, folks, sin always hurts. It hurts the ones that love us the most in life, but the one who loves you more than anyone is the Lord. And we should realize that when we say yes to evil, it is the Lord who is offended. Do we think about that? Do we think about that? And the Lord could take away his blessing from us if we don't learn how to resist evil. Paul said, I keep my body under subjection lest at any time I should be a castaway. The devil knows your weaknesses, folks. He knows what evil to use against you. He knows what evil to tempt you with. And most of us, listen, we're never going to start abusing drugs. Most of us are never going to go out here and start drinking hard liquor. Most of us are not going to go out here and go on a drinking binge and just completely throw it all away. So the devil never tempts you in that area. I don't know about you, but man, I haven't been tempted to take a drink since I can remember. I mean that seriously. I haven't been tempted to go over here to Westminster and stand on a corner and buy cocaine from somebody. I haven't been tempted to do that. I don't think I've ever been tempted to do that. The devil doesn't bother me with that. Why? He knows I'm not going to do it. That's why. But boy, you got to watch him because he does know where your weakness is. And he knows how to get us. I mean, he'll work on you with gossip, or he'll work on you with cheating in your business, or he'll work on you with laziness or some other sin that might not be glaring in the eyes of the world. But wait a minute, if he can just keep chipping away until the thing falls down, he has been successful. Whether he knocks you down all at once or knocks you down one chip away at a time. That's how he works. And boy, Joseph stood up and said, oh no, no sir, I can't do this evil against my God. He knew how to refuse evil. There's a second Bible character I want to call to your attention. You can read about this character in the book of Esther. Her name was Vashti. What a great woman Vashti was. You see, Vashti was the queen to the most powerful man on the planet at the time. He was the king of Persia. His name was Ahasuerus. And she was the queen in the greatest kingdom of that day. Let me just tell you the story. You can go back when you get home tonight and read it. But here's the story. The king had brought together all his princes and noblemen from 127 provinces within his vast kingdom. For 7 days and nights, it was just one continuous party. They partied from midnight to midnight, day after day, night after night, and the crowd was entertained, wined and dined in the finest splendor that could ever be imagined. On the final night of the party, the king sent for his queen, that she was to come in and display herself. Now, the Bible in the book of Esther handles this whole subject very, very gracefully. But folks, I can assure you that what the king was asking the queen to do was not appropriate behavior. The Bible handles it very, very gracefully. But what he was asking her to do was evidently not a very good thing. And the crowd of drunken partygoers were all waiting anxiously for the beautiful queen to come in and entertain them. But Vashti sent word to Ahasuerus. And basically what she said was, "No way, Buster." Now that's in the Hebrew. But that's basically what she's saying. That's not going to happen. And she refused. She refused to go and parade her body. Are you listening? She refused to go and parade her body in front of those evil men. Man, I got a question for you. Where are the Vashtis today? Where are the Vashtis today? Where is that young lady who will tell the world that she is not going to give up her virtue to be accepted by the rest of the crowd? God bless that woman. Now let me tell you, her refusal cost her her crown. She was removed from being the queen. That was it. She was done. Man, she humiliated the most powerful man on the planet when she said no. And he didn't like it very well. And he took away her crown. She lost her crown. But wait a minute, she didn't lose her testimony. And here it is now, 2,500 years later, and we're still talking about it. Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm amazed every night, every evening after the news goes off on the major networks, they have entertainment news. And they take you to Hollywood and they show you all the harlots and starlets and who's divorcing who this week and who's going out with who. And I just want to sit there and say, who cares? But evidently the world does care. I don't care. But the world cares, or they wouldn't have it on there. Where's the Vashtis today that will stand up and say, wait a minute, I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. And girls, listen, if you're not for sale, then cover up the merchandise. Amen. And you know, summer's coming. Time for a little reminder. Put some clothes on before you come to church. I tell you, these girls walk through the halls like this. Put some clothes on, you won't have to walk like that. Good grief. I'm begging you, girls. You learn how to refuse evil. Don't you listen to the lies that are coming out of your television set and out of Hollywood. I mean, the way primetime television portrays American teenagers, everybody's immoral. No, they're not. Don't fall for that lie. Sex outside of marriage is just the norm for our society. No, it's not. Don't sell your virtue. Don't do some evil act that is going to ruin your future, young lady. Don't do something that's going to ruin your future. Don't do something that's going to take you out of what is God's perfect will for your life. Then number three, quickly, I remind you that the Lord Jesus refused evil. Man, Joseph refused evil. He knew how to do it, and he did it. Vashti refused evil. She knew how to do it, and she did it. Oh, there are so many other characters. I could talk to you about Daniel. I could talk to you about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There are several characters in the Bible. But let me take you right straight now to the Lord Jesus. And let me remind you that the Lord Jesus refused evil. At the head of the holy procession of those who knew how to refuse evil marches the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of Jesus, we think about his sermons. We think about the miracles that he performed. We think about the deeds, and we think about the cross, and we think about the resurrection and the ascension. But I want you to think for a moment about his amazing ability to refuse evil. Isaiah said, "The child shall know how to refuse evil." And oh, how he stood against evil. I mean, right at the very beginning of his ministry. Do you remember? Right at the very beginning, when he started his earthly ministry, the Bible says that the devil came and took him into a high mountain where he was tempted. Right at the very beginning. And you remember, he got the victory over that temptation. He was victorious over that temptation. And it was that victory over temptation that qualified him to be our Savior. This was necessary to reveal whether or not he could indeed do the job. And he passed with flying colors. It was to reveal whether or not he could refuse evil. Now, I'm not going to go down the three avenues of temptation whereby the devil tempted him. I've preached on those before. But the important thing is that with all three areas, he was able to refuse the evil. Everything the devil offered, he was able to say, "No, I'm not interested." The three temptations were all different. There was the flesh, there was the lust of the eyes, there was the pride of life. All three areas were all different, yet in one way they were all alike. They were all alike in that they all involved him making a departure from the will of God. That's the one way that they were all alike. Brethren, I want you to know that that's why the devil is after you. Don't forget, D, downward. That's why the devil's after you. He wants to take you away from God. He wants to take you down away from God. Learn how to refuse evil. Learn how to say no. Because young people, listen, God has a will for every life. Every person needs to know how to refuse evil, how to make sure the devil doesn't get us out of the perfect will of God. You know, in 34 years, I've seen an awful lot. Most of the tragedies are, yes, young people. That's true. Most of the tragedies are young people. You know, when that really tragic part of their lives, you know when it is? It's that day that they walk down the aisle and they get that diploma saying that they've graduated from high school. That's usually when it starts. Because now they're, according to society, they're an adult. And now they get to make their own decisions. And boy, right there is when the downward spiral starts for many people. I wish I could tell you the number of folks that I saw one today. I saw one today. I had to go to the funeral home today. And I saw one today. Graduated from our school, was a good kid, but as soon as school was over, the downward spiral started. And I said, "Where you been?" "Well, I don't know if you'd want me back now, Pastor." I said, "Yeah, we would like you back." "I don't know if you'd want me back." "I would like you back, and God would like you back." But boy, the devil hit her with a ton of bricks, knocked her down. She didn't know how to say no to evil. But that's usually where it starts. But you know what? I've seen folks in their 30s. Devil evidently had been after them for a long time, and finally he knocked that last piece out, and their building crumbled. They were in their 30s. Hey, you know what? I've seen them in their 40s. I've seen them in their 50s. I've seen them in their 60s. They were doing so well. But you can just bank on it, dear friend. The devil is never going to let up. So what you got to do is you got to stay in church. You got to stay in the book. You say, "Wow, he'll never get me." Yeah, there's an awful lot of people that have said what you just said. But the devil, evil, got a hold of their hearts and took them downward. Folks, let's learn how to refuse evil. Learn how to refuse that dark spirit of temptation. Learn how to recognize the devil disguised as an angel of light. Learn how to recognize when he comes. Know that he's there. When he comes and offers you that which is appealing, just realize, wait a minute. How can I do this thing against my God? How can I do this? God has been so good to me. Be careful when the evil one comes to offer you something that causes you to serve time rather than eternity. Be careful. Be careful. Thank God our Savior was one that knew how to refuse evil and choose the good. Young people, I hope you'll learn how to refuse evil and choose the good. God has some good out there for you. Man, I stand there listening to these kids sing a while ago. Standing and listening to them, I thought, wow, man, wonder if there'd be a preacher in that bunch. I bet there will be if Jesus tarries. You keep them under the sound of the gospel. You keep them in church. You don't get all bent out of shape over some little silly thing that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You don't get out of sorts with God. Don't get bitter at God. Don't get bitter at your church. Don't get bitter at your brothers. Stay in the Word. Keep them in church. Teach them how to refuse evil and choose the good. And it's no telling what God could do. And young people, God has a will for your life, just like He has a will for everybody's life. What you young people ought to do is just say, by the grace of God, I'm going to get in the will of God and I'm going to stay there and get all I can get out of God's will for my life. And if you do that, I promise you God will bless in a mighty way. I'll tell y'all one little thing here and I'll close. My dad found out we tape everything here. And so he asked me, he said, "Do you think I could get CDs or tapes of all the services?" And I said, "All of them?" He goes, "Yeah, all of them." I said, "Well, okay." And Fran makes him a tape of every service. He'll get this one. He'll listen to this one, start laughing about right now. He'd probably be scared to death about right now, but in a minute he'll start laughing. And when I talk to him, we usually talk at least once a week. And when I talk to him, he'll say, "Hey, I got my tapes this week." And I'll say, "Oh, yeah, good. Good." And he says, so he told me this story. He said, "All those guys over at church, they remember you." And I was only in that church for about 2.5 years because I got saved there. Then I went away to college. And when I came back the summer of my freshman year to sophomore year, but then I went to work for Glenn Matthews over at Bethany Baptist Church, and so I was only there about two and a half years at best, and so you know I don't remember any of them, but they all remembered me. And my dad says I walk into church and he said there's a couple of them standing there. And they're standing there waiting on me. "Hey, Norris," that's my dad, I'm Junior. "Norris, you got any tapes? You got any tapes of your boy preaching?" Dad said, "I cannot tell you how proud that makes me feel. That these old saints of God that have heard it all are standing there at the door waiting on me to come in so that they can get a tape of your sermon. And what they do is they pass them around. They go all through the church. Are you ready for this? I said, Dad, you're going to get me killed. The adult Sunday school class. The teacher got a hold of a sermon that I preached here a couple of months ago. And he gathered the class together on Sunday morning and said, instead of teaching today, I want you to listen to this. And he pushed play. I said, Dad, did you get the pastor's permission before you did that? He said, well, Norris, I didn't know what he did. And every time Dad talks about all that, he says, I tell you, it just makes me so proud. I just feel so good. Now, folks, had you gone back 36, 37 years ago, and had you been sitting in that church and turned around and saw that little pimply-faced, skinny kid that was just mean as a snake, you would have shook. You would have shaken your head. And you would have said, there is no way. There is absolutely no way. But you know, God can do some mighty good things if we'll just avail ourselves. And that's what I've tried to do through the years, is just say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Whatever you want to do. Now, if God can use me, I want to serve notice on you young people. Are you listening to me? God can use you. Learn how to refuse evil and accept the good.